Great text. I thought about this text last week because I thought I was going to be preaching it Sunday, but I didn't. So I went back over and looked at it and really thought, boy, we need maybe sometimes in our own lives, we need an attitude adjustment. And we look at the Apostle Paul here in Colossians. And by the way, Colossians is very similar to Ephesians, the book we just finished. A lot of the language, a lot of the words are repeated. Slightly different emphasis. The Apostle Paul was writing to a church that was in the midst of a pagan culture that had all kinds of gods. I mean, it was abounding with multiple gods. So the Apostle Paul's writing here to establish the superiority and the supremacy of Christ. But before he gets into all of that, and before he deals with that issue, the Apostle Paul stops under the direction of the Holy Spirit, no doubt. He stops and he says, wait a minute. I want to pray for you and I want to let you know that I've been praying for you, but I'm also very thankful for you. Let me say this morning. And I love this church and I love the people in the church and I'm very thankful for this church. And I want you guys to know that before we go into this sermon today. But here we go. The Apostle Paul says, joyfully pray for others, and he looks at verse 3 for the prayer. We always thank God. Notice the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the equivalency of Jesus Christ with God the Father. When we pray for you, several things to note here about Paul's prayer. Paul is in prison. Obviously, these are part of the prison epistles. Ephesians being one of them, Colossians the other. This prayer was continual. Notice what Paul says. We always thank God. His prayer was continual. Something about continual prayer, or at least a spirit of continual prayer with God, doesn't mean that you have to close your eyes, but constantly talking with God about a circumstance or about a situation. The Apostle Paul could have focused on numerous things. He could have focused on his own situation, his own life, his own hardships. But what he did was, there in prison, he was writing, he says, I always thank God, or we always thank God. Second, this prayer was joyful. Notice the word thank. The word thank means it really expresses gratitude to God. Again, Paul's writing this from prison, and he could have easily said, God, why are you doing this? Why am I here? But he didn't. Paul had transcended the jail cell, and he was thinking about his friends that were in Colossia. Paul didn't start that church. Probably Epaphras did because of what he says here. Never met these people, but he heard word about these people. And he was so overjoyed that his own situation, his own circumstance melted. It just melted. It was directional. It was to God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul knew where he would get his strength to fight everything he had to fight. Of course, in 2 Timothy, the last book that Paul wrote, he says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, yet I praise God. Paul was ready to see Jesus. Paul was somebody that, he was tough, and some of his writings are tough. Galatians, you foolish people, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? But on the other end, the Apostle Paul probably had this underlining joy in his life and in his heart that said, no matter else what happens in this life, God is on the throne and it's still okay. It was also beneficial. Notice what he says, we pray for you. Isn't it true? Maybe in your life, it is in mine. You guys ever start your prayers like this? Oh God, I need this. Maybe if we kind of just started our prayer for others. I don't know. You guys knew I sent out a lot of stuff this week, a lot of prayer requests this week. And sometimes that can get burdensome. But you know what? As I was sending these out and as I was thinking about others, I kind of got lost in what my deal was. Because my focus was on others. The Apostle Paul shows us that we should have a joyful attitude no matter what. Paul's in prison, yet he says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. And then he puts it in form of encouragement. He's joyfully praying, and now he throws in an encouragement. Watch this. Since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of the love that you have for all the saints. We heard signifies Paul's never been to this church, at least that I'm aware of. But yet what happened was the church in Colossae, through Epaphras and maybe through some others that traveled through to Rome, where Paul was, had said, Paul, hey, you got to see what's going on over here at Colossae. These people, their faith in Christ and their love for the saints is well known in the community. Paul knew about it. He heard about from the Colossian messengers. People that just went to that church said, Paul, you got to listen to this. These people are awesome. They love Christ and they love others. Now, this word faith in the Greek means depending solely. Let me say this. When he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ, it's a huge word, pistis in the Greek. It means sole dependency on Jesus Christ. Since it's really without a definite article, it can apply to everything, such as our salvation, dependency on Christ, security in Christ, trusting in Christ no matter what the crisis is or the circumstances are in your life. That means wholly trusting on Jesus. We get into trouble in our own spiritual walk with God when we step out of that and start worrying on our own and start trusting in our own cunning and ability. We get in trouble because we got to remember that this Christian life is about living in Christ, trusting Christ to meet all of our needs and all of our circumstances and saying, God, I trust in you. That's a tough thing to do sometimes, particularly in the culture that we live in, when situations come against us. It gets difficult. I get that. I understand it. But the Apostle Paul says that their faith in Christ, everything, belief that Christ is at work in their lives, belief that Christ will care for our needs, belief that Christ will secure us before the throne of God. And when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are done. You are finished. Not in the sense of get out of here, but in the sense of inclusion, that you are in the numbered sheep of God. And therefore, you have security. And you've heard me say this, and I'm serious about this. I believe in eternal security once you have trusted in Christ. But I also believe you have to have it. This isn't about doing good things and about being a member of a church. This is about trusting in Jesus Christ. This isn't about relying on the Southern Baptist Convention to get you into heaven. This is about trusting in Christ as your Lord and Savior and believing with all of your heart that Jesus is who he says he was, which is the Son of God. But not only that, notice that they had love for all the saints. That is, high regard, concern for others, all the saints, every believer. This is how it works out practically, I think, for us. Faith, man's faith in Christ, that's absolutely necessary to make that connection with God through faith. But then there's this dimension, man to man. That is, their faith in Christ was translated in their love for one another. Jesus was once asked, Teacher, what is the great commandment? And Jesus, do you remember what Jesus said? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is likened unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Something about this connection with faith and love, Paul throws in hope here. So you have faith, love, and hope, the Holy Trinity, if you will, in that sense. Jesus said it this way. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So Jesus taught it. Paul is acknowledging it. He's saying, look, I've heard of your faith in Christ and how you're standing firm, and I've heard of your love for saints, and I want to commend that this morning. Secondly, where does this come from? Where does this joyful spirit come from? I think Paul connects it quite nicely. It really is because of the hope that we have. Notice, because of the hope, here it is, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. The word hope, you know, the world uses the word hope, right? I hope that the Cardinals win the World Series. Not a confident expectation. I know Susan's saying, I hope the Cubs win. But to make that happen, you have to be healthy all year. Everything has to go your way. You win a World Series with good players, but you also win it with a little luck. We're not talking about luck here, folks. What we're talking about in this word hope is a confident expectation that something is out there. Wait a minute. If that's true, if the attitude is connected to our hope, then there has to be something here that no matter what is going on in your life, it's not going to change the joy level because you have that underlining hope of seeing God, knowing that, oh, he says it this way, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Laid up, meaning set, established, fixed. When you trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior that day, and for me and Rosemary, October 12th, hers was a lot further back than mine was, but same day. When we trusted in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, guess what? That day, hope was laid up for me in heaven. And for Rosemary, and for all of you. That day that you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is your hope day. And Paul says it here because our hope is laid up for you in heaven. 1 Peter says it this way. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. To an inheritance, get this, to an inheritance, that is, God has caused us to be born again into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept for you in heaven. The day that you trust in Jesus Christ, that hour, that moment, that second that you utter those words, I trust in Christ. I trust in everything that he said he was and that he did in his resurrection. When you trust in that moment, in that second, in that, you can't go even, I guess you can go further in a second, but that moment that you trusted in Christ, bam, it was laid up for you in heaven. Everything else in this world, the problems, the situations, the hardships in life, do not compare to the glory that waits for us. So Paul could write in jail because of the hope that was laid up for him in heaven and for them. He could transcend his problems. He could pray for them and also, by the way, say an encouraging word to them. This is without a doubt my favorite. I hope it's not too loud, but I'm going to jack it up a little. This is one of my favorite. It is. It is my favorite movie of all time. And this is one of my favorite clips from this. This is from the movie Luther. You guys ever seen the movie Luther? Well done. I went back through and looked at the chronology of his life. Well done. This is a great scene from this. Also, I want to say this about the clip. This was radical for Martin Luther's day because he was raised Catholic and he was actually going against the Catholic Church, which cost him. But in the end, God protected. This is a great clip. Watch this.
Unforgiving. That's how I saw God. Punishing us in this life, committing us to purgatory after death, sentencing sinners to burn in hell for all eternity. But I was wrong. Those who see God as angry do not see him rightly. But look upon a curtain as if a dark storm cloud has been drawn across his face. If we truly believe that Christ is our Savior, then we have a God of love. And to see God in faith is to look upon his friendly heart. So when the devil throws your sins in your face and declares that you deserve death and hell, tell him this. I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction in my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of God. Where he is, there I shall be also.
Radical for the day. Radical for that day. Relevant for our day. That when we trust in Jesus Christ, where he is, there we will be also. And I trust that you've placed your trust in Christ, that you have trusted in what he said he was, which was the Son of God, that he lived this sinless life, came from heaven, down here, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, put that sinless life on a cross, paid for our sins, died, rose again, and is now at the right hand of the Father. That's how we get our eternal security. You do not get eternal security through religion. You get it through a personal relationship with Christ. The source, where does this hope come from? Well, Paul tells us, latter part of verse 5, of this you have heard before in the word of truth. This is without a doubt the most important message in the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever should not but have, that's it. If you know that, you can effectively share the gospel. Because here's the deal. You can have head knowledge of Jesus, but you need heart knowledge. And most people miss the kingdom of God by a foot. Because they know about Jesus, but they've never trusted in Jesus. Huge difference. You can know a lot about football, but never step on a playing field and actually play the game. You can know a lot about mathematics and compilations of formulas and all that stuff, but never actually do it. So it's more than just intellectual assent. It's more than just knowing the statistics about Jesus. It is about getting to a place in your life and my life where we say, okay, I trust in Christ wholly, not only for my salvation, but for my life. Because when I die in that moment, the moment that you pass from this life, Jesus is there and he takes you to heaven. Can we be happy about that? Should that affect everything about our lives? Should it radically transform? Oh yeah, I've got this problem, but I know there's one who is greater than my problem or situation. Is this helping people today? You guys being helped with this? Because, you know, there's a lot of circumstances and situations in life that just bog us down, and I get that. And I even get there too. And then God says, bam, here it is. The hope is laid up for you in heaven. Get your eyes off the circumstance. Get your eyes on Christ so that you can transcend the problem and that you can live a happy life. What? Back in my first church, long, long time ago, you've heard about it. It was out in the middle of nowhere. And the way you got to this church was down a dirt road, hang a right by the old oak tree that's bent. Catch the trailer. You'll see it's broken down. Make a left. And you wind up at this church. I had this lady in my church. I love her. And I joked with her when I first got there. I said, you must be on the welcoming committee, because she would stand at the back door like this. And then she just smiled. She said, well, when you first walk in the church, you think, okay, this lady could be a problem. Why is it that sometimes we're the most unfriendly people in the world? Where does that come from? It can't come from the fact that all your sins have been paid, that you've been redeemed in full. It can't come from the fact that you're not going to have to worry about it when you die because Jesus has made a way for you to be with him. Where does that come from? It comes from the fact that we get our eyes off Jesus. Isn't that right, folks? When we lose our joy, Charles Stanley once said this, you don't give up your joy, you let others steal it from you. And here's the deal. It's this hope and this important message. People need Christ. That next door neighbor that's hurting needs Jesus. honestly, I try to wrap my mind around this, but I don't know how you make it through life without Christ. I don't know how you get up the next day without Christ. Rich people, they get up every day and they think life's just fine and they don't need Jesus, and all of a sudden the stock market crashes. And then you hear a lot of this stuff. This CEO of this great company committed suicide. Why? Because he lost everything overnight. He had nothing left. But when you have Christ, you have everything. Please know that. When you have Jesus Christ, though the world may fall down around you, you can sing in the midst of problems and hardships. People need Christ. But he also prayed for the spread of the gospel, and it was effective. Look at verse 6 with me. Which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and growing, as it does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God. Bearing fruit, meaning to cause results, and increasing, meaning it's spreading. We don't see it. A lot of times you say, where's God? Where's he working in our culture today? You look at our culture and you see it really slipping away. But I'm going to say this. Maybe it fits, maybe it doesn't, but I'm going to say it anyway. Do you know that God is still at work in Tolono reaching people with the gospel? Do you know that lives are being changed by the gospel power? My goodness. South Korea, that's one of the fastest growing Christian cultures in the world. China, the gospel's being preached there. Things are moving. We don't see it here a lot. We don't see a lot of people getting saved and all those things, but that doesn't change the fact that lives are being changed. You are here today, 70 of you, whatever. You are here today because your life was changed. You're here today because you trusted in Jesus Christ and it made a radical change in your life. It's radical. The old life is gone. The new life has come. With the moment you trust in Christ, that's a radical change. Paul says, and this radical change is not your work. It's not my work. Whose job is that? That's God's job to change lives. All we're responsible for is being the church in Tolono, being the church in the surrounding area that word gets out and says people's lives are being changed and people are being saved. And boy, you should see that church over there. What's going on there? But they can't hear that if we're not out there doing it. Inviting people, sharing the gospel, telling people about Christ. This is what happens. You don't shake your body physically, but you shake it spiritually the day that you trust in Christ. Lastly, how does this happen? Notice verses 7 and 8. This is how it happens. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Do you know how the gospel spreads? Right here. Through ordinary folk. Through ordinary people. Guess what? God can use you to reach people for Christ. Do you believe that? He used Epaphras. Actually started this church. Probably won people to Christ himself. Word got back to Paul. Paul was overjoyed. He said, oh, I know that Christ has changed your life. Because of the hope that's laid up for you, it's evident in your life. Let me ask you a question this morning. A serious question. First of all, do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? That question If you do not trust in Christ now, that question, along the how you answer that question, will determine your eternity. And that question will come back to you on the day that you die. George Beverly Shea, "I'd rather have Jesus than anything." Wonderful. You need Jesus. You need Christ. And only Christ can make a change and do things in your life that a religion can't do. Secondly, if you know Christ, how's your attitude this morning? Have we gotten away from the fact that there's this hope laid up for us in heaven, therefore we can trust in Christ and we can love one another? Maybe go back and look at your attitude this morning. Go back and see, you know, am I joyful or am I mostly angry? I realize that there's times, now that I've hit 55, if I would have known hitting 55 meant all these problems, I would have stopped at 40 and just not had any more birthdays. And I get that there's times when medications are needed to help issues in your life. But listen, if you haven't had joy in your life in a long time, it's time to go back to the cross and look at what Jesus did for you. And maybe by going back to the cross and seeing what Christ did for you, it will change your attitude to say, you know what, this really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of life, because I know who one who redeemed me. Maybe today there's other decisions that you need to make personally. I don't know what they are, but you make them. Have an attitude of gratitude as you live this week. Just look at life and say, you know what, no matter what else happens in life, I will rejoice, because greater is the one that is in me than the problems that I face in this world.